welcome to We the People. Can a wife be raped by her husband? Are Indian husbands entitled to sex once married? Remember, under current Indian law, there's no such thing as marital rape. The section of the Indian Penal Code that outlaws rape includes an exception that states that sexual intercourse, sex by a man with his own wife, as long as the wife is not under the age of 15, is not rape. Basically, the current law allows a woman to be raped as long as she's married and the rapist is her husband. Now, India continues to not recognize marital rape, even though the government's own data points to a harsh reality. The Delhi High Court is currently hearing petitions that say, no, this is wrong, it's unfair, it's unjust, and that marital rape must be criminalized, something that the center is opposed to. Today on We the People, we're asking, what is more important, tradition or women's rights? Does marriage and family trump human rights? Do Indian husbands have a right to force their wives to have sex with them? Are Indian men entitled to a woman's body, or is it time to criminalize marital rape? Also, we want to know, why does Indian society put such a high premium on marriage, which means for many women, the only option left is to grin and bear it? Well, today we have a woman in studio who has been a victim of marital rape, and she's extremely brave, and understandably, she doesn't want to identify herself. So I'm just going to call her Neha. Neha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You were raped on your wedding night.
Yes.
What happened?
Actually, pehle to mujhe nahi pata tha kya hai kya nahi hai, because first night tha. But
and how old were you?
19.
Just 19.
Yes, arranged marriage. बस अरेंज मैरिज जैसे होता है, डैट्स इट, वैसे ही हम लोग का था. नॉर्मली बातचीत जो कन्वर्सेशन होता है मैरिज के पहले, वही बस एंगेजमेंट पे डैट वही हुआ. एंड आफ्टर दैट इन द नाइट, मैरिज नाइट, फर्स्ट नाइट जिसे कहते हैं, एंड वेरी हॉरिबल फॉर मी, वेरी. एक्चुअली माई हस्बैंड do with me 7 times. Sex do with me 7 times, whole night. And in the morning, मेरे में इतनी भी स्ट्रेंथ नहीं थी कि मैं खड़े हो पाऊँ या जो हम लोग की रस्म वगैरह होती है उसके लिए मैं रेडी थी. नहीं, मैं बिल्कुल भी रेडी नहीं थी. एंड मैंने उसको बोला भी, मतलब प्रॉब्लम हो रहा है, दर्द हो रहा है, ये होता है, फर्स्ट नाइट है, ये होता है. और मेरे से किसी ने कंसल्ट भी नहीं किया था, काफ़ी छोटी एज में मैरिज भी हो गई. और फिर साथ में मदर भी इस चीज को शाय करती थी. उन्होंने बस इतना मुझे समझाया था कि हाँ होगा, बट इतना होगा ये मुझे नहीं पता था.
एंड दिस वाज द नॉर्म थ्रू आउट योर मैरिज?
यस, उसको हर कंडीशन पे चाहिए ही चाहिए था, चाहे कोई भी कंडीशन क्यों ना हो, मेरी कोई कंडीशन क्यों ना हो, उसको सेक्स तो चाहिए ही था.
एंड दिस वाज इवन व्हेन यू वर एट योर ओन होम, योर ओन पेरेंट्स होम.
या
so the next morning when you say there are rituals that are connected with marriage the day after, so when you came down, obviously people could see that you were in discomfort. What about your in-laws, your mother-in-law, sister-in-law, did anybody
sister-in-law asked me what happened, your night was good? So I'm literally crying, main rone lagi ki matlab theek hai, wo samajh gayi hongi ki matlab hua hai ya kuch bhi hai. To unhone aisa kuch reaction nahi kiya, bas aisa bola theek hai koi baat nahi, rest karo.
So,
nothing else.
We romanticize this whole Sohagra.
No, मैंने बोला ना horrible. मुझे जो एक plan होता है ना एक mind में कि एक लड़की का होने जा रहा है या marriage हो रही है, उसकी night ऐसी होगी या वैसी होगी, ऐसा कुछ भी नहीं था, कुछ भी नहीं था.
नहीं, but then how long were you married?
7 years.
You stayed on for 7 years. Surely you got to know each other. So things must have changed after that, नहीं?
No.
No, I can understand on the first night you didn't know him from Adam.
Again,
difficult
and again,
to take your clothes off and come
in
front
also,
of a complete stranger and have sex with them. But over 7 years, you got to know him. He was your partner.
Yes, I want to know him. मैंने उसको समझाने की भी बहुत कोशिश की. I'm trying, literally. But वो समझने को तैयार नहीं. उसके बस one need, sex. That's it.
So why did you finally decide to leave? What was the breaking point?
Breaking point. Actually, I lost my baby after 7 years from cause of brain fever. उसको बहुत था, and उसके बाद मैंने सोच लिया कि जब अब कोई रीज़न ही नहीं रहा उसके साथ रहने का, उसने उसके बाद भी, and even होता है कि मदर को, एक मदर का जब चला जाता है कोई चीज़, तो उसके पास सपोर्ट के लिए किसी को होना चाहिए नहीं.
एंड व्हेन यू वेंट टू द पुलिस व्हाट डिड दे से टू यू?
इन 2010 मैं गई थी और इसने मुझे बहुत मारा था बिकॉज ऑफ सेक्स. और इसका कंडीशन यही था कि आई वॉन्ट, मुझे चाहिए.
बिकॉज यू वुड स्टिल से नो?
या उस टाइम पे मैं जॉब में भी थी, ऑफिस के लिए लेट हो रहा था. मैंने कहा नहीं, मुझे जाना है, ऑफिस जाना है. बट नहीं, करके जाओ, ये उसका वर्डिंग थी, करके जाओ.
सो यू ऑब्जेक्टेड एंड यू वर बीटन,
राइट?
व्हाट डिड द पुलिस डू? डिड दे रजिस्टर योर केस?
नो. ऑफिसर सेड टू मी, यू हैव एनी प्रूफ? मैंने कहा प्रूफ क्या चाहिए सर, मार्क्स हैं बॉडी पे, आप देख लो. उस टाइम काफी नील वगैरह जो मार्क्स होते हैं चोट वगैरह के, यस, चोट के भी मार्क्स थे, नेल्स के भी मार्क्स थे, मेरे नेक पे एंड शोल्डर पे काफी मार्क्स थे. मैंने वहां पे लेडी कॉन्स्टेबल थी उनको भी दिखाया कि देखिए आप पीठ पे देखिए मेरे. उन्होंने देखा, सब चीज देखा. जो वहां पे ऑफिसर थे उनका फर्स्ट रिएक्शन ये था कि आपके पास इस चीज के लिए कोई प्रूफ है कि आप इतना बड़ा स्टेप ले रहे हो? मैंने कहा मेरी बॉडी पे मार्क्स है, मैं मार खा के आई हूँ, सब चीज है, कि आपके पास ये सफिशियंट नहीं है? नहीं, आपको किसी ने देखा मार खाते हुए कोई है? ये क्वेश्चन था उनका, कैसे कोई प्रूफ ले आई? ये कोई प्री प्लान थोड़ी ना होता है कि हाँ मैं मार खाने जा रही हूँ, मुझे शूट कर लो, और मेरे साथ ये जो होने जा रहा है कि हाँ मेरे घर में कैमराज हैं. बहुत टाइम तक कन्वर्सेशन ये चलती रही मैम कि लिख लो. फिर मैंने अपने फादर को कॉल किया, वो भी आए. उन्होंने भी फोर्स किया कि मेरी बेटी को इतना प्रॉब्लम हो रहा है तो क्यों नहीं आपने लिखा? लेकिन नहीं.
सो गोइंग बाय योर एक्सपीरियंस इन द पुलिस स्टेशन, यू थिंक marital rape should be criminalized?
Yes.
You think it would have made a difference?
Criminalized, ma'am.
Okay, now, you know, in court, the lawyer for the government, who is a former governor of Mizoram, who is the husband of the current external affairs minister, he's been fighting the case. He has tweeted saying that marital rape doesn't exist in India. What would you say to him?
Ma'am, against of women's feeling, and it's a rape, ma'am. अगर वुमेन्स का, लेडीज का अगर नहीं मन है, या ठीक है, होता है कभी चेंज करना पड़ता है, किसी के भी नेचर को चेंज करना पड़ता है, किसी के भी मूड को चेंज करना पड़ता है. अगर आप नहीं कर रहे हो तो क्या जरूरत है उस चीज को लेने की? क्या जरूरत है उसी पॉइंट पे करने की? आप उस बाद में भी कर सकते हो. आप किसी को हर्ट कर रहे हो, अगर उसका मन नहीं है तो वो उसके अगेंस्ट ही हुआ ना, तो इट्स अ रेप ना.
It's a rape, she says. Vikram Banerjee, Vikramjeet, you are a member of the BJP's legal cell. In court, the government said, amongst its reasons that it's given for not criminalizing marital rape, it says it will destabilize the institution of marriage. An institution is more important than women's rights, than human rights?
No, Sarah, I'll take that question. But first thing, I think, what Neha said, was if there is an allegation of violence, then that allegation of violence could directly be taken. I don't think that allegation of violence that she was beaten up
is
that is a separate issue. She says that it's about violence, and violence is clearly...
No, she says it's rape.
No. First is the question of violence. She said that she was beaten up and the police refused to take a complaint on that. I think that can be taken action. That is a separate issue. I think she should have followed that up, and I think that the police wrongly did not take that complaint. If there's any violence against any woman, that can be taken up, and that should be taken up. In the question of rape, especially the question of marital rape, it is a larger issue. And if you read the government's affidavit, is very clear onto that, saying that you need to also very clearly define what marital rape is. Number one, the two major questions is consent. But you may have a definition of consent. But most importantly is the next question of abetment. And this is a question which we should all, also talk and discuss about.
Because I'll tell you what is destabilizing the institution of marriage, right? Women are getting educated, yes. They're starting to work, they're getting financial independence, they're becoming emboldened, they're not willing to put up with abuse and other nonsense from their husbands, they're not willing to follow all their orders blindly. What is your government going to do next? Are you going to stop the education of women?
No, this government has been extremely pro-women. But that's
when it comes to triple talak.
Last week, when it came to triple talak...
When you say that's why there's a contradiction.
Its economic policies have been pro-women.
That's why there's a contradiction here, because the same argument that the government made in this case, which is that, you know, we're a poor society, we're illiterate, women are financially not independent, we're such a large diversity, the same argument was used in the case of triple talak.
No, but the court said this is not an excuse, Sarah. You should look at the affidavit filed by the government. The government says very clearly that it's very important for us to define what marital rape is. And second, it also says, and this may be controversial, this is a fact, that 498A has been misused. So to ensure that this provision is not misused, what are the safeguards you're going to put in? You have to have a comprehensive definition.
Sure, it has been misused. We'll come to that. The other thing the government said in court is that just because Western countries have criminalized marital rape doesn't mean we should follow blindly. So what are we saying? That ideas of equality, of liberty, dignity, these are Western ideas. They're not Indian.
No one said that. I think what the government said is the concept of what constitutes a family. For example, 498A, and I know that the misuse of it is controversial, but the fact is that in 498A, members of the family, extended family, have been brought under, in a large number of cases, implicated to put pressure on the other side. This wouldn't happen in a Western society, which is largely nuclear-based.
But is the family and is marriage more important than an individual right? Are we saying human rights, this is a Western concept, and like a McDonald's menu, it needs to be tailored when it comes to India. To fit the whole Indian concept, Indian sanskari menu, you'll have a separate menu for India.
You know, but see, that's what I'm saying. Human rights are not applicable. In India, fundamental rights, we don't practice American fundamental rights. The reason why we don't have American-style fundamental rights is because we believe that inherently fundamental rights need to be restricted. Because we say that they're subject to restrictions. So that is the reason we live in a different society. Even our constitution accepts that. That is why we don't accept the maximalist position of fundamental rights. And it's good.
Geeta, we live in a different society. Now, let me play devil's advocate. As we pointed out there are numerous cases of women like Neha. 5% of this country's women choose who they marry. And that, I mean, they're women like us who are the privileged, we are the elite, we live in air-conditioned rooms and offices and we have discussions like this. But the rest of the women in this country don't even know who the man is they're going to marry, when they're going to marry someone. For them, obviously, the first night is when you're raped. And as the lawyer in this case said, Mr. Swaraj, as he pointed out, if this were to be allowed, then all men will be in jail. There'll be more men in jail than there will be at home.
Just looking at it from the construct of marriage, we are a patriarchal society. Let's accept that. And given that there is an unequal relation of power relation between the man and the woman in marriage, and historically we know that men have the choice of sexual intercourse when and where they want it, and women do not have that choice, either for or against it. So in such a situation, it is very likely that a woman is coerced into sex when she does not want to have it, even within marriage. And the impact could be very negative on her as an individual, as a person. So looking at it from that perspective, I think, and we've been talking as a country, as a nation, the debate has been long, and we've been constantly saying that women should have equal rights. So if that is the case, then why not in marriage? Why not look at the question of equality in marriage, where there is consent and where there is mutual respect and dignity? I'm a little appalled that
for most of the women there isn't even consent.
The question of consent does not come in because it is an unequal relationship. And therefore, I feel that our society as a whole need to understand, need to rethink, need to unlearn some of these concepts about what marriage is, about what men relations between men and women are. And this whole institution needs to be based on a much more equal footing. That's my...
You know, the court is listening to all sorts of petitions, both pro and against the criminalization of marital rape. And Amit Lakhani is the president of this organization. Amit, why are you opposing this?
Though, you know, the program has been started on a very judgmental note. And I would like to put in...
Why would you say that? Please make your point. We're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
The fact that you've been invited means that you are a stakeholder.
Even in the courts, we are putting the perspective from the men's side, from the husband's side, because it is very important that a law which is going to affect a larger society, the both sides should be heard.
And the way
the petitioners in this present petition are projecting, as if not removing the exception is some kind of a license to rape. It is not true. It is putting the men in a very bad light. It is showing as if, you know, every man the entire day he works, and when he comes back in the evening, he rapes his wife, which is not true. Secondly, we are not saying that there cannot be sexual violence or any kind of violence between spouses. It can happen. It can happen to a man. It can happen to a woman. When it happens with a wife, we already have recourses in the law. Mm-hmm. We already have a Domestic Violence Act.
Correct.
Wherein emotional, physical, even sexual violence is covered.
But
the wife can go ahead and take protection orders from the court, and any violation of the protection orders can take the man behind bars for 1 year, and there are penalties also.
She may be raped. If he slaps her or beats her, yes, what you're saying is correct. But if she's raped, there's nothing she can do about
sexual
it.
Sexual violence is already covered. Globally, this issue is covered under spousal violence, spousal rape.
So domestic violence, against the Domestic Violence Act, you could what, get 3 years? But for rape, minimum is 7?
Apart from the Domestic Violence Act, there is 498A, which covers cruelty of the nature of mental cruelty, physical cruelty.
Yes, rape also is cruel, it is more than cruel.
So there is already law which covers it. There is Section 377. Section 370 covers the Unnatural Act. So when you are saying that we don't have enough laws, that is untrue. Secondly, we have 375. We already have laws. When we are talking about laws in other countries, we are actually comparing apple and oranges, because the laws there are gender neutral. They talk about male rape also. They're very neutral. If you go to US and UK, there are conviction cases wherein women have raped men also.
They are gender neutral also, because they are more equal society than us.
So
when
you say
rape against men biologically,
so
it's
if
just,
we are talking
it's
of
much
a,
harder to
we
rape
are
a
talking
man.
Of a progressive,
you need to have an erection.
If we are talking of a progressive society, if we are talking of a progressive law, first we should amend the present law and make it gender neutral.
Okay. So, as of now, you're saying if there were domestic violence against a man,
there is no law.
If
there is cruelty on a man in a relationship, there is no law. If there is domestic violence on a man, there is no law. If a man is raped, if a man is sexually assaulted, there is no law. We have POCSO, which covers the children,
I agree. I think there's a right for a demand for that. And perhaps we can have a separate debate on that. We need to have gender neutral laws. We need to have laws that protect men. But why not have a law that criminalizes marital rape? Are you supporting marital rape when you are opposing this in court?
We are just saying that we do not need to remove this exception. We already have recourses. We already have laws. That's what
Sharmisha, you're a spokesperson of the Congress. When we saw the December 16th horrific Nirbhaya gang rape case, after that, the UPA government brought in an ordinance to introduce stricter penalties for violence against women. We had the Justice Verma Committee recommendations, which were accepted, some of them not. One of them that was not accepted was this criminalizing of marital rape. Why?
Unfortunately, the UPA government could not include this because of stiff opposition from most of the parties, including our allies at that time, and of course the BJP. But I would like to tell you that in April 2015, Avinash Pandey, one Congress MP in Rajya Sabha, he tabled a private member's bill asking for criminalization of marital rape. Congress MP Shashi Tharoor ji has spoken within Parliament, outside Parliament, again and again about marital rape. So as a party, yes, definitely we believe that the marital rape should be criminalized, and it's unfortunate that we could not. But the issue is because there was so much of opposition. You know, I would also like to say that 2013, the criminal amendment, IPC amendment, it created lot of opposition, as you also know, within the political parties. And the whole thing is that, we wanted, the activists, they say that this was a landmark.
There is opposition. There was opposition to child marriage. There's opposition to untouchability. Is the government not abdicating its responsibility? Are you supposed to be a passive bystander to seeing these regressive social practices continuing and saying we are helpless because, there was so much opposition?
When 2013 Act came, amendment came, even the staunchest people opposing the government also said, the activists said that this is a landmark act. But now the issue is, yes, we could not, we did. I definitely agree, Sarah, that we did this, but we could not.
Should the blame lie at the door of the UPA? This was a lost opportunity. There was so much public support for this. You could have passed this. You could have made this.
No, we couldn't have passed it because we did not have the numbers. It's as simple as that. Congress did not have it. We were not a majority government.
You introduced the ordinance.
Yes, we introduced the ordinance, but you know the ordinance.
And you left
the ordinance that needed to be passed within or to become an act. The ordinance needed to be passed within a specified number of months, and we did not have the numbers because, as I said, that in our own allies within the government they did not agree. So we said that yes, we missed an opportunity. I am agreeing to that.
Interestingly, the ordinance was also silent on the recommendations that politicians who are facing charges of sexual abuse be stopped from contesting elections. So our politicians, they all protect each other and they look out for each other. Meenakshi, you're a practicing senior counsel in the Supreme Court. You've been one of the advocates whose persistent efforts led to the framing of the Vishakha guidelines. This later became a law on the legislation of sexual harassment in the workplace. One of the points raised by those who are opposing this is that how will we find any evidence, which is what the cops asked Neha there. What's the proof of this?
See, in case of rape laws, evidence is strictly never the case there because the victim is herself a witness. So the judgments, the courts have always recognized that sexual offenses take place in privacy. You will never have a witness present out there. Your evidence will be always a corroborative. It could be in the form of injuries. There may not be even any bodily injury, but yet a victim has a right to say that it was a rape. But on the larger aspect, I went through the affidavit that had been filed by the government in respect of marital rape before Delhi High Court, and if I noticed, it has primarily two objections. One is the societal part of it, to say that it's not good for our society.
Yep.
And the second is to say that it is likely to be misused just the same way as 498A,
correct,
which is the domestic violence, etc., and all cruelty in marriage in the same way by roping in the family. What marital society do we recognize? Do we condone of sexual violence within marriage? Is that a part of our society? Is that a part
culture?
Of our culture? I say no. I say if countries like Nepal and even Afghanistan,
which is not a Western
all,
country,
there are 50, 60 odd countries across the world which have expressly provided for marital rape. The others have rape as a neutral provision where there is no mention to a marital status of a victim. So therefore recognize rape within the marriage. If so much in the world recognizes that marital rape is bad and is an offense, I don't understand what culture we are protecting by saying that this will lead to a cultural issue. If you say that no rape exists within marriage, and you say that a woman has a right to subjugate herself every time to a demand of a man within marriage, what kind of children or sons and youngsters are we bringing about there? We are only encouraging them to go out and commit more rape on women, because within a family, we are not teaching them to respect women.
Absolutely,
so,
and it starts
so
from there.
I think the part of a culture is completely incorrect.
Okay, but now, I want to play devil's advocate here. One second. You know, we talk a lot about women's sexuality too. We recently did a show on women's sexuality. We say women have sex drive. So, you know, if that's the case, why not men? And in a marriage, we assume that a man can't get sex outside because that's termed as adulterous. So what is he supposed to do then?
When you are into a marriage, you are partners. You are on equal status. What marital rape recognizes is it's a non-violent sexual intercourse between a consenting couples. There are times where a woman may want to say no, and a husband has to respect her wish. So there is no forcible part of it. It is something with both parties with their joint wish.
Okay.
Vikramjeet, respond. Can I have just one sentence?
Go ahead.
And I shall not take any more time. You know, on a 498A aspect, which the government has taken a position in the government, I have this very strong position and I have felt it over many years. We say 498 has been misused. It has been misused. I'm not going to say no. It has been misused for a wrong purpose. For the reason, when the parties separate, the woman has no maintenance, has no form of any money. The governments on and off have failed to bring about any legislation that the minute she steps out of the house, she is provided for some basic thing with which she can meet for herself, meet fend for her children. So what happens is the lawyers advised her the next best thing. Go and frame a 498A case, rope everybody in.
Correct.
The husband will come under pressure, will give you some amount of money with which you will be able to support yourself and your family. Having said that, okay, 498A got misused. But simultaneously, Section 420, 406 of the IPC are misused every day, which is forgery, fraud, breach of trust.
Should we
every
do away
day,
with all
courts
these laws?
Across the country have false complaints which are filed to settle commercial issues, private disputes, everything under various sections of IPC. Have we ever said, do
Correct.
Away with these sections of
so
IPC?
So one law.
Why? Why then a legislation which was brought about to protect women against cruelty in marriage, a legislation which has worked so far for women to stand up and say no to cruelty, and today we want to brush that legislation
so
under the carpet.
So show us one law that hasn't been misused.
Yes.
And in 2017,
and
there are still one dowry
absolutely.
Death per hour. One woman is killed every hour, and for them at least should we have this law? Because it's misused, should we
you
do away with it? But Vikramjit, respond to what
Meenakshi
said about the fact that, you know, the difficulty of producing evidence. Is that a reason or an excuse to do away with the law? You're a lawyer yourself. Isn't it the lawyer's job to provide
the
evidence and improve law and order? Let me put it this way, right? You have CBI that is looking into cases against political opponents of
yes.
the BJP on corruption charges. Many would say it's going to be very difficult to find the evidence. Should we just drop those cases against them?
That's the entire question, and that's the entire issue. I don't think the government has taken a stand on
they
the
have.
Question as to whether
they have.
You know,
what
the question of evidence cannot be produced in court.
No, they've said in court it's going to be difficult to produce evidence.
It is, even then, the fact of the matter is, then the solution is, what has happened in the questions of it, is then you shift the burden of proof to that certain extent that whenever there's an allegation, you take it as you know, whatever the person who's the victim says it's correct is correct.
How do you, as a
you
lawyer,
know, you shift
you're
the burden
a lawyer,
of proof. That's what I'm saying.
How do you fight a case when somebody you know, files rape and they're saying it happened
in
2 years
a marriage,
ago, it happened a month
in
ago?
A marriage,
what do you
in
do?
A marriage, that's what I'm saying, is how do you then account for questions of what would be abetment? How do you then account for, you know, the wider
yes,
set of people?
Yes, how do you?
See,
is
that's
the solution
the problem,
removing
because
the law?
Let's say, for example, and we were having a discussion outside, and this is something which is to be discussed, is let's say there are two friends of ours who are in a marriage and somebody supports them on one side, then the one of the accused can obviously bring in, like what has happened in 498A, and in this respect 498A, and I'm not taking any side, but all of us know the 498A has largely been used against women of the family. It's not, the pressure is always, and 498A has been brought against all the extended women of the family, so as to pressurize. So
sure,
that's
as
the point.
Pointed out,
and it will go down this
many
route.
Many laws can be and have been misused. Dr.
Sarah,
Kamal
I
Khurana.
Like to, can I just intervene and say a point? You know, you're talking about evidence. Just one case comes to my mind, which I read about in the papers, which I don't distinctly remember. Meenakshi, you know, remember there was this case where a little girl was abused, I think by one of her relatives, and then in the court she started painting. And the judges actually saw those paintings, and from that they deciphered that this girl. So in these kind of cases, what the point I'm trying to make, that we have to look into very unusual evidences.
You have to find,
and maybe, you know, we have a psychologist here.
Like,
you know, we
I'd like
need to
add something here.
Psychological profiling.
The prevalent law that we have for the POCSO and the rape law, we don't need any, just the testimony of the complainant is enough for a conviction to happen. So if you're saying that how will a person prove or not prove, only the testimony is evidence enough for that person.
But we're not, so the government is saying how will a person
can
prove or not prove.
One?
I'm not asking
no, but
for them
question
to prove.
Being
the
raised
government,
that,
the government yeah. is saying you
so
can't
their
do this because you
being
can't
raised
know.
On the rape law.
Dr. Khurana, let's go across to Dr. Khurana. Dr. Khurana, he's a psychologist, he's a marriage counselor,
yes.
correct? The government says marital rape is not in our culture. Is that what you've seen in your practice?
So that's very well said and a very fancy thing saying in the Honorable Parliament there, because I actually face those calls. My heart pains when I get every call. So it's a surprise for, maybe a surprise for all of you, 90% of the calls that I get are from women. 90%, by the way. Out of that, 90% of those 90% say to me that our husbands don't know, please don't call back on this number for a follow-up ever. Now, 50% of these number who come to us finally they report some sort of a sexual violence, and they continue the marriage. Even Neha, if I look at that, she continued the marriage for 7 years. I have so many calls, so much of data, obviously I'm not going to disclose that, of so many women. And these, we do these discussions here in this forum. I once asked one very senior person in Women Commission, I don't want to name her. I asked her, ma'am, that these laws of 498A and all are misused. I get to see this every day. But do you know what happens? What's the reality? The reality is something the guy's family, the boy's family or him, under any pretext, has done that the woman is so angry, as Meenakshi said, I am with you, Meenakshi, when she has no other choice but to use these laws against. Still, 14%, the reports are there of National Crime Bureau, 14% are still convicted. So those who are applied in 498A, 14% are still convicted. Now imagine, that senior person from Women Commission told me that, Kamal, you're talking about only cities. We are debating here in cities. Fine, absolutely. We are women are powerful. 98% of those who are in small towns, villages, my heart really pains when I get a call from a small town or a village where I can do nothing. I can do nothing there. I can't go there. I can't call up there. These places. And what can I do? When I have to maintain confidentiality of all my clients, I can do nothing. All I can do is I can help the man sensitize. So this is what I can do. That's what is within my hands.
So what do you say when a couple comes to you? I don't know, even if couples come to you.
Couples come to me. Couples do come to me, but only on the last day.
How do you counsel the husband?
So this husband, when he comes, I know there are 50% of these husbands who are sensitive to a fact, who understand, who are open enough. Even yesterday, while I had to come here for the show.
50% of husbands are sensitive?
They are their promoters.
Does a husband think, does an Indian husband think, being married legalizes sex?
Now this is a very, very, again, a painful part for me, because I sometimes really dread, I don't want to take calls sometimes, when I get to know that this woman is equally working as a vice president in some corporate and the man is also equally working as a vice, at a great position. Still, when she's subjected to marital rape, she cannot leave the marriage. Under so many pretexts, she has kids. As I said, Neha also continued for 7 years. She has issues around who will marry me next. I have to counsel her. I don't say get away from the marriage, take divorce. I try to sensitize them. Trust me, 50% of these husbands still get sensitized to a great extent. People like me, I've spent all my saving in lakhs in promoting pre-marriage workshops, relationship workshops. Nobody comes. And you know why they don't come? They say my husband won't be ready. My parents won't allow me and my fiancé to come. And these husbands refuse. So 90% of calls that I get, they don't turn up because their husbands refuse.
Where does one refuse. Start? Because statistics have actually shown that the violence women face, 98% of the violence they face is in their homes, not out of the streets. So the violence that we hear about of women, eve teasing, harassment at the workplace, on the roads, that's just 2% of the violence. And this, by the way, government records, not some American or British organization that has done the studies.
And what about those
Let's go
who don't...
Radhika Chopra is an associate professor of sociology at Delhi University. You know, Radhika, the demand not to criminalize this has been to save the institution of marriage. But if I were a young woman about to get married, after hearing all this, I'll just say I don't want to get married. I'd rather be with my boyfriend. I'd rather live in with him. At least I have recourse to the law. The moment I get married, it looks like I'm in a piece of property. Nobody cares about me.
First of all, let me just thank Neha for sharing her story with us. I think it tells us a lot. It's one story, but it reveals to us a great deal of what we are trying to decipher today. And I think one of the things that comes through with Neha's story is that the moment a marriage is in place, consent of the woman is assumed. And it is a consent once and for all and forever, of all kinds. So it isn't just of sexual access, but of every aspect of her life is in the hands of someone else, i.e. her husband, and after that her in-laws, and so on and so forth. So which means that what we are really doing here is understanding marriage from the point of view of the woman as an act which is accomplished forever, and that's the end of her story.
Yeah.
It literally makes her the property of someone else. And it seems to me that the only place where we give her any kind of subjective voice or any kind of sort of subjective position is when we accuse her of misusing a law. And it's in misuse that her agency comes through. I mean, that's what I'm hearing here. And I want to ask the BJP spokesman for legal cell of the BJP, when he asks, we have to define marital rape. Fine, of course, it's in law. You have to define it. Who will you ask? Whose position will you take? Whose stories will you pick on to narrate the substance of the law? Who will define what is marital rape for our society? Because there is a second exception. It's the exception for invasive medical intervention. And that is not to be treated like rape. You know, when we put the two together in this way, these two exceptions, it's almost as though it says, you know, this is good for you. We know best. That's the position that we are giving to the husband.
We know best. Parliament knows best. Most of them, most of our parliamentarians are men.
Neha doesn't know anything. We know better.
All right, but that said, look, there are two stories. Whose story are we going to listen to? Do we need to listen to all stories? Manav here has a story of his own.
Yes. So actually, I was married in 2008, and within 1 month of my marriage, you know, there was a very, you know, demand from my wife, like, you know, to have a separate house. You know, I don't want to live with your parents, and you are not able to, you know, give me proper, treatment here. And why don't you have a separate house?
I don't mean to be dismissive, but a lot of women may just want to have a separate house with their husbands, no?
Yeah,
not to have to live with your in-laws if you can afford it.
No, there is a time to separate also. If, my parents are not, well, or they are ailing, so how can I, separate? So it happened. So, with all the abuses and demand of separate house, apart from that, you're not able to maintain my standard of life, you're not giving me enough expenses, all that stuff, and threats of filing false cases like 498A or and calling women cell, intentionally going to to the balcony and shouting, do you want to create a scene at house, I will do it, look at me, I can do it any time. So it has happened, finally, I got the judgment and my 498 was quashed. But still, I remember, those moments are still in my mind. You know, my brothers are not able to marry because they feel, it can happen to them as well. So that is really, a very painful. I think it takes, decades
so
to come out of this trauma.
Marriage?
Yeah, it was arranged marriage.
So when did she not know that you had ailing parents, that you would expect her to live at home with your parents, look after your parents, just as I assume that if her parents age, you would also look after her?
She was aware of everything, but, it's just like, her demands needs to be fulfilled and, it should be obeyed and, followed.
So, but when you went to court, legally, did you get recourse or was it difficult?
It was very difficult because she's a lawyer herself, and she has a lot of, people there who know, and, I got the, judgment, it got quashed, but still, I would say the justice is not delivered. And you tell me how many people to, whom I can go and tell that, I am acquitted, can I ask my friends, okay, I'm acquitted and all this stuff. So it becomes very difficult to
basically you forever.
Yeah, it's still haunting me, I would say,
Have you remarried?
No.
Why?
I'm scared. Now, you tell me, if it happens with me again, what will happen, Even my brothers are very scared, they're not getting married because they have seen all the cases when the cops enter to your house and they ask for, where are you and all that stuff.
Okay, so as Amit points out, our laws, are they also protecting men in cases like this? Meenakshi, would you like to respond to him?
No, I would. I have only a very small response. It was very unfortunate for you to have gone through that, and I noticed that it has scarred you. But I only want you to remember one thing, what is said about a rape, whether it's marital or it's outside. A woman once raped lives through the experience throughout her life. You faced a 498A and it traumatized you to the position, and we can hear it in your voice as you speak. Think about a woman who goes through with the sexual violence and she lives with it every single moment of her life, and she lives and she relives and she relives. So therefore, if we are talking about marital rape, I think that kind of a scarring in case of a sexual violence within marriage or outside marriage definitely calls for a legislation to prohibit.
Let's try and get the audience here, because perhaps the youth is the only people that the government would actually listen to. And the irony is that we have the Minister of Child Development and Women's Development who has said that marital rape is not part of our culture. Do we make our culture, or does culture make us?
No means no, like we said, and we have seen it in our movies also, and movies are a depiction of our society. Now, this no is irrespective of gender or not. If a husband or a man does not want to get into a relationship, if a husband is not well, if he is suffering from some penile disorder, and her wife forces him to do sex, would it come under the purview of this marital rape? Because what I understand, as a society, we don't have a rape law for a man. So we are already on an inclined paradigm. So we are trying to make a fool's paradise by this a biased law called marital rape. Would husband get protection under it?
Because we are referring the other countries where all the laws are gender neutral. But in India, there is no law for the male.
So you agree with the points that have been raised by certain panelists, including me, that we don't have gender neutral laws?
My point is that the laws are sufficient. It is just the implementation with law which needs to be strengthened.
I think you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
But so you will agree that the government is wrong by saying that you can't provide evidence. The law has to be strengthened. It is the duty of the government and of the law to implement the law.
Yeah, precisely.
Not that to do away with the law.
Yeah, precisely. The implementation has to be strengthened, and which is where we lack, and that is the bottom line of everything.
Okay. Respond.
Yeah. So over here, when we agree that we do not have these gender-neutral laws, why not work on making this one a gender-neutral law? Why not work on making this one it?
That's a great point. Marital rape on both sides.
First of all, I want to say Congress Party and the BJP here said that they care about women's rights and all. They really don't. They only care about their vote bank politics. They don't. They're just jealous that the Muslim man has so many privileges, so they should just like cut down the privileges and equalize to Hindu men. So third of all, that guy said that he was under which section? 498 he was challenged. Think about the woman, what she was going through when she was filing the case. I understand you must have gone through a trauma, but she is going through much more than you are. And you need to understand
that. But he's saying it was a false charge against him because she just didn't want this marriage. She was out of it. But what is it going to take for us to change? Like, we saw Nirbhaya, we saw the ordinance, we changed the law. Are we going to take another Nirbhaya to come about for the government to realize they don't have their pulse on the youth of the nation? I see a... Well, you're married, clearly. Both of you? You're married to each other?
Yes.
Okay. What is your response after hearing all of this?
See, I sympathize with her. I sympathize with him. I can't really imagine the trauma they both have gone through, their families as well, both, all of them. But yes, there has to be some action in the marriage or outside the marriage. Rape is not acceptable. Be it anyway.
What's interesting is that if you arrange marriage?
Love marriage.
Love marriage. Okay. So if you were seeing each other and you had sexual relations with each other and he forced himself on you before marriage, you would have more rights. Post-marriage, you don't have those rights.
No, she has the right.
Does she have the right to say no?
Yes, she has the right to say no. So she can oppose. She can talk to my parents or her parents. They can come up to the scene and make us realize what we are doing, if it is wrong or right.
This is a good man. Hold on to him. Doesn't seem to be that many like that out there. Any other reactions? Quick audience reactions.
Sir, we are talking about the parents. Like, if we don't want, so we can ask to them. But it's not a reality. If we look at it, then our society is made in this way, men or women. Whether you are in your... मायके में कहो या ससुराल में, अगर जो भी होता है, और ये एक ऐसा सवाल है जिस पर तो वो इस तरीके कमेंट करेंगे, ये आपको गलत लगता है कैसे? आपकी शादी हुई है तो ये आपके साथ होना है, आप इसको इनकार नहीं करते?
नहीं, तो बेसिकली एज पेरेंट्स वी टेल आवर चिल्ड्रन, स्पेशली गर्ल्स, की बेटा अब आप शादी हो गई, ये आपका घर नहीं है, यू हैव गॉन टू अ न्यू प्लेस, इट्स योर जॉब टू अपहोल्ड दिस मैरिज एट ऑल कॉस्ट. आई हैव अ क्विक क्वेश्चन फॉर एनीवन इन द ऑडियंस हु वांट्स टू रिस्पॉन्ड. व्हाई do we expect that the financial burden perhaps of running the house lies on the men? If we are opposing having to do all the housework, are we also willing to say that I'm going to take on some of the burden of providing financially for everyone? Shouldn't we be equal? If we want, if we're saying marriage is a union of two equals, should we also not be equal?
Yes, we have to be equal. But the point is that we have audience sitting here, all of us women, we have probably reached a stage where we can earn for ourselves.
Correct.
We can provide. But are
good point.
But are we going to talk about the women in the rural areas, in the villages, or who do not have access to employment, education? So what are we, I mean, how can we decide that, the equality?
More reactions, and then we're just going to wind up. I'm going to go back to Neha.
Okay, so when we ask that adopting things from Western countries is so not right, why, if we know our society lacks somewhere, why not just to adopt? As Meenakshi said, that does our society portray or says that mental rape is allowed, that marital rape is allowed? No, because our culture do not promote it. So if we know we are lacking something in our society, why not to adopt it from the other one?
Well, IPC is also a Western concept. Yeah, exactly. And if we didn't have these concepts, then perhaps we'll be listening to the Sharia and we'll be listening to the Manuspriti.
I want to know what kinds of line we have to draw, because I don't get any idea about what kinds of line we are talking about. It is a very sensitive issue and we are trying to limit it so that there should not be any blind victimization of men. What kinds of line, I want to know?
Okay. If a man rapes a woman, then it's a crime. But if a man marries a woman and then rapes her, it's not a crime.
That
so
a
in a way,
here.
We are violating Article 14 and 15 of the Constitution,
said,
which is
well
right
said.
To equality. And we're also violating Article
very
21.
Absolutely. We're all boiled down to equality. We're completely out of time. So I just want to go across back to Neha, get a closing argument from you. And I want to ask, you have now been, you're remarried.
Yes. And I'm very happy. My partner very supportive with me.
And
now I'm very happy.
Of...
I forget my all the past. मैं उसको याद भी नहीं करना चाहती वो क्या था क्या नहीं था. But now I'm very happy with my new partner. He's a very, very, very good for me. And बहुत appreciate करते हैं हर चीज में मेरे work में. You know, last marriage में तो मेरी studies भी banned हो गई थी. मैं इस चीज पे हूँ, मैं PhD कर रही हूँ बिकॉज ऑफ हिम. वो मुझे PhD करा रहे हैं बिकॉज मेरा इतना मन है सब चीज करने का, टीचिंग का, और सब चीज बढ़ रही हूँ मैं आगे.
So clearly, it's not always just about the men or about the laws. Perhaps it's just about patriarchy, and that's what we need to change. We're completely out of time. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll be back next week on We the People. If it's important to you, we'll bring it up, and we believe it's important to speak up for what you believe in, but it's also important to listen. Until next time, thank you so much, and bye-bye.